bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the lesson tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for loving us. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our heart, draw us closer to you. I pray that you'll help me to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that if you want me to say it in this message, that I will. If not, that I won't. Just control me completely with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to draw a little closer to you in everything that we do. Help us, Lord, just to grow closer to and mature in our walk with you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had someone ask you a question? Now, this is a lost person. Have you ever had a lost person ask you a question something like this? Why am I here? Or maybe they'd say, why am I on this earth? Or they may say and phrase it this way, what is my purpose in life? Or what am I supposed to do? Something along those lines. That seems to be a pretty common question among the lost. Now, we as saved people, we should be able to give a pretty good answer to that. And hopefully we've got it in our mind that why we're on this earth. But how do you answer people like that? How do you answer people like that? Tonight, we're going to look at basically three verses. And what I want you to do is to put it in your pocket and take it with you. And if someone says to you, I just don't know why I'm on this earth, I want you to share these verses with them, okay? Some of you that have phones, you can make a note in your phone. Or if you're old-fashioned, you get a pen and write on your hand if you have to. Just write these verses. And hopefully you encounter them before you wash your hands too many times. But we've been talking about the hardest or the toughest. And we filled in the blank. Tonight, the hardest or toughest question for a lost person, why am I here? Now, I'm glad I know why I'm here. Aren't you? But would you agree that there's a whole lot of people around us that don't have a clue on why they're on this earth? So tonight we're going to look at two different passages, but just three verses total. If you turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. The hardest or toughest question for a lost person, why am I here? In Micah 6, 8, we're just going to look at that one verse and then we're going to turn to a passage in Ecclesiastes. These two Old Testament passages that we're going to look at answer that question, why am I here? And again, I hope you can put it in your pocket in case someone ever asks you that question. You can share this quite freely. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. It's O man, not old man, okay? Someone recently called me an old man or something. I'm like, what are you doing calling me old? But anyway, old man, I regress. What is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6, 8. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it really answers the question, why are we here? It says, old man, what is good? So this is good. And then it says, what doth the Lord require of thee? This is one of those verses that typically at the junior camp that we have on this huge list of verses that the kids can say. And I remember listening to this verse quite often from kids saying this verse. But it's a wonderful verse. Y'all are awfully quiet tonight. Awfully quiet. Why are we here? It's given right there. It says, what does the Lord require of you? You know, if the Lord says, I require something of you, that kind of perks my interest a little bit. Doesn't it perk your interest a little bit? Because if the Lord requires it of me, it's something that's good and something pleasing to Him. And I want to know what it is. And if someone would ask, why am I here? Right here, there's three answers to that. First of all, he says, what doth the Lord require thee? But to do justly. So if someone says, well, why am I here? Well, do what is right. that's a pretty good requirement from the Lord? Do what is right. Deal fairly with all. You know, if we lived in a world that everybody did that, unfortunately sometimes Christians don't do that either, right? But it says, do what is right. Do what is right. So someone says, well, why am I here, preacher? Why am I here, Connie? Why am I here, Littlefoot? Why am I here, John? You can say, well, let's go to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, and let's look at what the Bible says. It says to do justly. So we're supposed to do what is right. That's what God expects or requires of man. Second thing, it says, what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and to love mercy? To love mercy. Now, if you think about that a little bit, I think what it's saying there is to show mercy and love to others. You think that's a good thing to do? It's been a little while since I've looked around and saw so many blank faces. Hello, everybody wake up. Everybody tired today? How many of you worked really hard today? Okay. Sandy says she worked hard. Anybody else work hard today? Well, you're it. The rest of us are slackers. But we just stayed up too late partying, the rest of us, right? No, I'm joking. But it says what the Lord require of thee. So if someone says, why am I here? If we have to ponder in our heart why we're here, first of all, to do what is right, to do justly. Second, to love mercy, to show mercy and love to others. Do you think that the Lord Jesus showed mercy and love to everyone? Absolutely. Now, he didn't sugarcoat it, and he didn't say what you're doing is right when it was wrong. And he was very outspoken in the temple, right? You've turned my house into a house of money changers and a house of thieves, and it's supposed to be a house of prayer. Remember that? So, I mean, he was not a wimp. Jesus was not a wimp, okay? He stood for right. He told the Pharisees where they stood. I mean, he was a straight shooter. But I can tell you that he showed mercy and love to everybody. Even though he stood up to them and said, that's wrong and that's sinful. You know, he wouldn't do anything to show them hate or disdain. He said it because he loved people. Do you know what? If we loved everybody more, people would want what we have more. You know, the Bible says, and I know I quote this quite often, but the Bible says they'll know you are my disciples because you have love one for another. So, obviously, we ought to love one another so much that people outside the church say, boy, those people really care about people. They care about each other. But, you know, it doesn't just stop with church people and church members and friends that we know. Really, we're supposed to show mercy and love to everybody. You know, there's a bunch of people that their sins really upset me. Did you hear how I phrased that, though? Their sins really upset me. I could probably say their sins really, 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 really upset me. I'd call it righteous indignation when I see certain sins that people commit. That's not even counting the ones that I don't see behind the scene. But it's like, but guess what? My love and compassion for that person must never end. I must show them love and compassion. How in the world do you think these people that are lost are ever going to be saved if we don't show them love and mercy? Right? Again, I'm not preaching compromise. I'm not preaching that we say, okay, well, whatever you want to do is fine. That's not it. I'm saying we still stand up for truth, but we got to look past their sin to look at the sinner and love that sinner. Y'all agree with that? Amen. You know, everybody, I hope you feel the same way. As far as I'm concerned, everybody is welcome in this church. I mean, I would like to see the most vile, evil people come to church. Seriously. Because the only way they're going to change is by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and letting the Holy Spirit make a brand new creature or creation out of them, right? So, you know, if they show up, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why am I here? Well, Micah says, What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? In other words, do what's right. Second, and to love mercy, or to show mercy and love to others. And the third thing is, it says, and to walk humbly with thy God. You knew God was coming up there somewhere, right? like, why am I here? Well, to walk humbly with thy God. Now, that walk would show a relationship, right? A relationship. Now, I know this is Old Testament, but in the New Testament, when we say we need to walk with the Lord, and the Bible in the New Testament talks about walking in the Spirit, you know, and walking with the Lord, it's speaking of being a Christian, right? Having that relationship. So if someone today in 2023 says, why am I here? Well, it's to walk with the Lord. And it says to walk humbly with thy God. You know, not just a God, but thy God. Make it personal. So part of the reason we're here is to walk humbly with our God. Now, why do you think it says humbly? You know, my idea of humility is recognizing who we are in light of who God is. You know, if we even get a little glimmer of who God really is, we're on our face, right? Because there's no way we can stand before His goodness and His holiness. So we need to walk humbly with our God. You know, part of that humbly is, you know what, God? I don't have the answers, but You do. You know, God, I just didn't walk that way on my human level, but guess what? I'm going to walk with You. Right? Part of that's humility and recognizing who God is. We don't need any big shots in Christianity. Really, we don't. Really, there are, in God's eyes, I don't think any big shots in Christianity. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot. What we really need to be is little shots that are obeying God. Little shots who are walking with our God. Little shots who recognize how insignificant we are compared to the greatness of God. So if you start thinking you're a big shot, there's some that's fallen, right? So why am I here? If someone would ask you, lost person, come up and say, why am I here? Guess what? I know Micah may not be the easiest book in the Bible to find, but open your Bible to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and say, well, here's three reasons right here God gives us that man is here. Let me read that one more time. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Number one, but to do justly, that's do what's right. And to love mercy, that's show mercy and love to others. And to walk humbly with thy God. Have a relationship with God. That's why we're on this earth. Of course, you know, it starts with a walk with God. And I don't think by putting it third, you know, Micah, the writer of this book, I don't think he's minimalizing that, because we know that it starts with God, right? It all starts with God. Another passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Right after Proverbs, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. Now, Can you tell me who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, what all did Solomon have? He had basically everything of this world. He had the riches. He had the pleasure. He had the wives. He had all of those things that people crave for today in this world. He had wisdom, absolutely, the wisest man that ever lived. Now, it's interesting that 33 times in this book he uses the word vanity. Vanity. Vanity means empty, vain, or worthless. And he says three times, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's talking about the things of this world. Now, I mean, that'll preach. I mean, that's almost enough to base a whole sermon on right there. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what are most Christians doing? They're working for things that are vain, that are empty, that are worthless, that are going to pass away. All the wealth of Solomon, the women of Solomon, the pleasure of Solomon, all going to pass away. This guy should know what he's talking about, right? Because he's tried to find fulfillment in all the wrong places. Now, at this point, he kind of come more to his senses and like, you know what? I've been a fool. I've vanity of vanities. All that stuff I was chasing's all been vain, all been empty, all been worthless. And it comes down to the end of this book of Ecclesiastes. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So when it says the conclusion, now what do you think of? The end. And then in particular, it's kind of like, I'm going to give you a summary. In case you missed it, all through the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes, right here at the end, guess what? I'm going to tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Last two verses here. This is what I want you to get. I think Solomon is writing. I want you to get that in case you missed it. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Notice this. For this is the whole duty of man. Isn't this a pretty good verse for people that say, why am I here? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, God's got the last say in this. You know it? We may think we're getting by with something. We're not getting by with anything. But he says conclusion of the whole matter. He says that the latter part of verse 13, for this is the whole duty of man. But what does it say? Why am I here? Well, first thing it says is fear God. Fear God. What is man supposed to do in this world? Fear God. Now, I really think it seems like there a few years back, and I kind of bought into it a little bit too, that the fear is just like all reverence of God. And it is. So I wasn't wrong in kind of thinking that way. You know, all, A-W-E, all of God. And absolutely, reverence of God, honor of God, absolutely. It's in that word, fear God. But also, I think sometimes we sell a little bit short. I mean, we serve a powerful God. And if I'm outside of his will, there ought to be a little bit of fear. Right? I mean, it's not like fear that he's going to harm me with no reason. It's fear that God's going to punish me to get me right back in line because he loves me. Does that make sense? I mean, I know my dad loved me, but guess what? If I got out of line, I wasn't exactly, you know, I didn't get out of line much. Just put it that way. My dad laid down the law and basically let me know from a very early age that I'm going to do what he says or else. There's going to be consequences. And I believe that one of the responsibilities of man is to recognize who God is, reverence God, but also fear God when we go against God. But then it says something else. It says, as you read on, fear God and keep his commandments. You know, where would I find God's commandments? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You know, for most of us Christians, it's not a lack of knowing what God wants. It's simply a decision to not do what God wants us to do. Did you catch that? Most of us, put it another way, most of us know his commandments and knows what he expects. For one, because we have the Bible. Another, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which says that's right, that's wrong. And, but we choose not to. But it says there, the whole duty of man, part of that's to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me about someone that they were somewhat familiar with that had a black marker, and would go through the Word of God and mark through the parts they didn't agree with. But you know what? Whenever we say, I know what you require, God, but we're doing that. I mean, seriously, we're almost doing the same thing. We're almost taking the black marker out and saying, well, God, I know what you expect, but I'm not going to do that right now. Or, you know, I've heard of people in very liberal churches. I remember my pastor friend in Moundsville, been there, was pastor at Moundsville Baptist for years and years and years and years. He said that, I believe it was in a pastor's fellowship or something. I think he left that fellowship. But one somewhat liberal, I'd say very liberal, based upon this, took the Word of God and just tore it. That's not keeping his commandments. You know, we need to know what's in here, but we also need to do it. And it says that that's the whole duty of man. Really? You know, really, any time we take out, I mean, if you take out one verse of the Bible, you might as well just take it all. I mean, because you've negated the perfection of the Word of God and taken a verse out and said, I'm going to pick and choose. You see, you and I don't get that prerogative. We can't pick and choose what we want in there and what we want out. So, according to Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of man, the conclusion of the matter, after vanity of vanities, all is vanity, he says, guess what? Man, this is what you need to do. You need to fear God. Fear God. Now, we understand that that's a relationship with God, right? Again, there's God right there in both lists. There's God. We need to fear God, reverence him for who he is. And we know the rest of the story that he sent Jesus to die for us. That's the way we're saved in this New Testament era, by putting our faith and trust in what Jesus did for us. But we need to fear God and keep his commandments. Sounds pretty simple. It's harder to do than just to say, but we need to keep his commandments and fear God. You know, I think really if you look at the lists, the two lists, the one here in Micah 6, 8, and the other in Ecclesiastes 12, 13. I almost think that to walk humbly with thy God and fear God is kind of saying the same idea. You know, fearing God in our humility because of how great he is. Then it almost seems like keeping his commandments is almost the same as what Micah is saying in Micah 6, 8, to do justly. Remember, to do what's right. Isn't that kind of akin to keep his commandments? So if you want to summarize and put those two verses together, why am I here? If some lost person should ask, you can take them really to those two verses, let's say three verses, because we read verse 14 as well. But you could summarize it this way. Number one, to do right by keeping his commandments. Second, show others love and mercy. And third, walk with God humbly and recognizing who God is. So when I ask you, if anybody ever asked you that or said anything to you about that, I mainly got blank stares. So maybe they haven't, but maybe this week someone will come up to you and say, I just don't know why I'm here. I just don't understand the purpose of man. Why in the world was I placed on this earth? Why in the world? Again, God's word is amazing, isn't it? We can answer the question with the word of God and say, well, you're here to do right by keeping God's commandments. You're here to show others love and mercy. And thirdly, you're here to walk with God humbly and recognizing who God is. That's why we're here. And I pretty much through this all, I've been saying, if someone asks you, but let me ask you a question. How are you doing at this? If that's the responsibility of man, we're Christians. We're New Testament Christians. We've trusted Jesus. We recognize who God is. But are we doing right by keeping His commandments? You know what? I'll bet you if you're not, and I'm not presuming that anybody's hearing this right now, but I know that we're all sinners saved by grace. But when I say that, I'd guarantee you, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit's going, guess what? There's this one area that you're not doing right, and you know you're not doing right. God knows you're not doing right. So why not start doing right? Amen. Secondly, are you showing others love and mercy? Are you showing others love and mercy? I'm reminded when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And remember, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, love your neighbors yourself. So that's kind of in here. Show others love and mercy. You know what? You are not another man's judge. Now, by saying that, I'm not saying you can't say that their actions are sinful, because God's Word says it's sinful. You're on good ground. But guess what? You still need to show them love and mercy. So are you showing love and mercy even to people you disagree with? I tell you, some churches could use a real good dose of love and mercy just toward each other. Seriously. And the third thing for application for Christians, are you doing right by keeping His commandments? Are you showing love toward others, love and mercy toward others? And third, are you walking humbly with your God, recognizing who God is? Too often, we think we know what's best for us. And the whole time, we know what God wants us to do, but we're like, God, I mean, how ridiculous is that? Are we walking humbly with God, recognizing His greatness, my own failures, my own humanness, my own sin, and recognize who God really is? If we truly are walking humbly with the Lord, there's a lot of Christians who could use a good dose of humility. I've known Christians that seem to think they got all the answers. We don't have the answers, okay? God has the answers. So, tonight, if someone asks you, or any statement even close to this, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? Why did God create me? You know, look through all I'm going through. You can point them to these verses, and you can answer them. To do right by keeping His commandments, show others love and mercy, and walk with God humbly and recognizing who He is. But then for us, before we say, well, they need it, they need it, they need it, maybe we need it. Are you doing right by keeping His commandments? Are you showing others love and mercy? You can't pick. You really shouldn't pick who you show love and mercy to. You know what I mean? Well, that one there, okay, yeah. Nope. And lastly, walk with God humbly and recognizing who God is. The idea of walking is a daily relationship. So are you daily talking with the Lord and walking with the Lord and listen to what He says in the Word and through His Holy Spirit and talking to Him in prayer? Are you doing that in a humble way, recognizing who He is? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you, has God spoken to your heart tonight? I think it's well and good, and we should be prepared to give an answer. I think the Bible's very clear about that. Reason of the hope that we have in Jesus. If someone should ask, why am I here? We should be able to, hopefully as a result of being here tonight, give them some thoughts. showing some scripture. But what about you as a Christian? Are you doing right by keeping His commandments? Are you showing others love and mercy? Not just a few, not just a certain select group or certain one, but He's showing others, all others, love and mercy. And are you walking with God humbly, humbly walking with Him? Talks about a daily thing and recognizing who God is. If God has spoken to your heart in any of those three areas, would you take just a moment in silence right there at your seat and talk to the Lord about it? You might start your prayer by, Lord, forgive me for, and Lord, help me with, perhaps. Just talk to God, would you? And all of God's people said,